If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me now to that psalm that we just sang in versified form. It is Psalm 142.
Hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for they shall deal bountifully with me. And then if you'll turn to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35 to the end of the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation?
Love of Christ.
I'm sorry. I'll start over. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now as we consider our psalm, Psalm 142, Psalm of David. Notice it says the Psalm of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you. We thank you, Lord, that in the life of your servant David, there were times of great joy and blessing, and also there was great testings and trials. That he experienced those things in his walk with you, but also for us. He went through these challenges as well as joys, and that you moved him to write these things down, to compose music, to put them into a form that would be able to speak to us now, some 3,000 years later. And so we thank you, Lord, for this psalm, this song of prayer, of a lamentation of the individual, David, but also a prayer of us even now, that this portion of your word is profitable for us, for doctrine, for teaching, to understand the truth, for correction, to correct our thinking, for instruction in righteousness, for reproof, that we may be thoroughly furnished as a servants and workmen of God, that we need not to be ashamed, but we are able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would equip us now through your word and by your spirit, that we would be able to better serve you on the earth this day and throughout the rest of our lives. Lord, please, we pray that you would make this profitable unto us. In Christ's name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I've been thinking about the idea of loneliness as I've been reading this psalm, meditating in it. Have you ever felt alone in a crowd? Have you? Have you ever felt alone in a crowd of your friends and people that you know? That's not as often, but it can happen. Have you ever felt alone when you were alone? Silly question. As I thought about this is my testimony. The Lord used loneliness to drive me to my knees. When I was 20 years old, just moved to California from Michigan, didn't know anyone. And the Lord kept me from establishing any relationships and friends. Gave me a job, place to stay, bought a car, I was getting by. But I was alone. And the Lord used that to drive me to my knees, to seek His face. It was through loneliness that I came to know my Savior and my Shepherd. In many ways, Psalm 142 is a testimony of the person or the life of David. David was not a stranger to the feelings of being alone. Many times he was alone when he hadn't done anything wrong. He was a faithful servant of Saul, and what did he get for it? Some spears stuck in a wall that had his name on it. Men that came to his house and attacked him in his bed, where his wife, by grace, actually had put an image or something in the bed to look like him. There were men of blood seeking to kill him. Why? Because he was faithful to the Lord. He had to run for his life, and one of the places he ended up in was in a cave, more than once. We don't know exactly which cave he was in when he wrote this psalm. Could be in En Gedi or other places. He was running for his life, and there was a period of time where he was running alone. Later on, others, baser fellow, the scriptures say, baser fellows, joined with him. But there were times when David felt exceedingly alone and cried for deliverance. And so we hear this psalm is appropriate, is actually a shortened version of a number of the other psalms that we have looked at concerning his crying for deliverance in the midst of his difficult situation. And so we have here in Psalm 142 an expression of his feelings, of his frustrations, and of his response to these things in his prayer. Not only David, but also our Lord Jesus Christ, he too understood what it was to be alone. He came unto his own, Scripture says, and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. Which men? His own. Even his own brothers. Even his own disciples. Those who he poured his life into, his ministry for 3 years. At the very end, they forsook him. Denied him. Betrayed him. But not only did Jesus experience that aloneness of men, but even greater was he experienced this forsaking of God at the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus, if anyone, understood what it is to be alone and in need. And he is, ultimately, as you look at the psalm, David understands this. It is our Lord Jesus that is the solution to David's problem and our problem. And it is Jesus that provides the solution to further difficulties that we may face. And so the sermon title I picked, there was a number of choices I was wrestling with, and I fell down to this one: Alone, Yet Never Alone. And in many ways, that's probably a good way to describe what David is communicating and what I think at times we experience, but at the same time we need to understand that no matter how alone I feel, no matter how forsaken, no matter how distant people are from me, I'm never alone. That Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Proposition there is in a bulletin. How often does it feel like in your journey through life is like making your way through a pitch black cave to the faint light in the distance? Without light, you stumble and fall, not knowing what the next step will bring. Are you trying to make it on your own? Or are you seeking the help of one that can lead you through the darkness to the land of the living? Doesn't that feel like sometimes you're just stumbling? You don't know where the next step is going to happen? As I was thinking of this psalm, I was also thinking of A Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you've read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to read it. There's a point in time in the story of Pilgrim's Progress where a pilgrim and one of the things interesting about Pilgrim, starts off alone, but he ends up with a companion. And when that companion is killed, he ends up with another companion. His other companion is named Hopeful. And Pilgrim and Hopeful are traveling along on the road to the Celestial City. And at one point in time, they see this metal, and it looks smooth. The traveling has been rough, and their feet are hurting. They didn't have automobiles back then. They had to walk. And after a while, walking on very rough ground hurt your feet. And as they looked, they saw in this metal, and it was going the same direction, and it was smooth, and it was soft, and it was pleasant. But the name of the metal was Bypath Metals. Oh, that sounds good. Let's bypass the hard way and take the easy way. So they climbed over the thing that was blocking it, and they're traveling along. And as they're traveling along, they see another fellow ahead of them. And so they catch up to him, and his name was Vain Confidence. I love how Bunyan tells us, hints at what exactly is happening here. And Vain Confidence is traveling along ahead of them, and they follow his example. And Christian turns to his companion and says, see, this guy, he's got it together. He's going along, and there must be a good path until night falls. And as night falls, and they enter into the woods, all of a sudden, Vain Confidence falls into a pit and is dashed to destruction in the pit. Many times in life, what seems to be the right way is the way of destruction and death. But who is there to help us through the way? The life, many times, is like passing through the valley of the shadow of death. It's amazing that some people will try to pass through that valley on their own. I can do that. I'm a man. I am woman. I am strong. But David said, no, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And so it is in this psalm. In many ways, Psalm 142 is an exposition of Psalm 23, that passage I just quoted to you. So let's consider it. Psalm 142 is in a book. I call it a discipleship manual. The discipling of Jesus as Lord. Living as a stranger in a strange land would be another way to describe it. Or as a pilgrim passing through this life. Here we have David's closet prayer. But his closet is a cave. It's a prayer motivated in a time of being alone. Verse 1. In Hebrew, my voice have I cried unto the Lord. My voice unto the Lord I have made my pleading. It is in this cave that a voice, a noise rings out. He goes on to say, I pour out my complaint before him. And I showed him, I reported to him, literally, my trouble. In the dark, in adversity, David's first response. David's response. When alone. is to cry out. Now, is he shouting against the darkness? Is he crying against the darkness? Is he crying against that which is unseen? Is that the cry? Is it a cry against something or for something or to someone? The answer is the latter, isn't it? His cry is to someone that can hear, to someone that is there. His cry is an evidence of his faith that there is a God that hears my cry, that cares enough to listen and to do something about it. Though he's in the dark, though he's in a cave, though he is in great turmoil and trouble, and though he has great complaints, he has a place to take them to. There is a complaint department that he can bring his complaints to and pour them out, he says. His troubles are extensive, but he has a place and the freedom to unburden his soul. Do you? Do you have that freedom? Do you exercise that freedom? Do you have the freedom to be able to go into your prayer closet? Hopefully it's not a cave. And unburden your soul. Is that your practice? When you're in difficulty, when you're depressed, when you're discouraged, do you go to the Lord? Is that a natural reaction? Or is it something that has to get really, really bad before I do that? Or does it have to be that somebody else has to tell you to do it before you do it? Are you dependent upon your shepherd? I almost titled this sermon, Alone, Yet With My Shepherd. Is he your shepherd all the days of your life? Is he there for you at school, at work, or laying off for a week or so, looking for work, handling children, whatever the situations you're dealing with? Is he there? Yes, he's there. Do you respond to his presence? Is your voice heard? Do you pour out your complaint unto the Lord? And share with him. Yeah, I know he knows them already. He knows you, knows what's happening. But he wants to hear it. Do you report your trouble? Notice David goes on to say, he's overwhelmed. He says, when my spirit is overwhelmed within me. When was the last time you actually experienced that? Probably it doesn't happen every day. Hopefully it doesn't happen every day. Have you ever had those times where you just, I can't get up. I can't get out of bed. I just can't move. I'm flat on my back emotionally or physically. I'm overwhelmed. I just can't do it. If you haven't experienced those, we'll pray for you. No. Every once in a while it's healthy to come to the end and see the need that you have. David is overwhelmed. He's laying down. He's not on his bed. He's in the dirt in the cave. He says, my spirit is overwhelmed. But what is his solution? How does he overcome? Verse 3, when my spirit is overwhelmed, when I'm faint, it's faint within me, then you know my path. But I want to focus on that statement. Literally in the Hebrew, you yourself know. You don't need me to educate you or inform you on my situation. You yourself know. Yes, I'm called to do that anyways. Helps me. He asked me to. But the comfort is, you know, before I even speak, you know. You foreordain whatsoever comes to pass. You know the difficulties I'm going through. You know the solution. You know how you're going to accomplish all these things. I can find comfort in knowing that when my spirit fails, when I am overwhelmed within me, you know me. Calvin His favorite verse in the Bible, John 17:3, said, eternal life is what? Knowing God, or better yet, God knowing you. Having that knowing relationship to God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. Life eternal. And so, when your heart fails, where do you go? What do? David goes to the Lord. David focuses his attention, his cry, his heart upon the Lord. Notice also David understands, point two, you know where I am going. You know my path. You know the way that I walk. And the way that I walk, he says, has snares and traps. That there are people and there are situations out there that are set for me to fall. The life I live is a life with landmines. Did you ever think about that? That you walk through a landmine, a field of landmines, of traps and snares? You know, the strangest opponent concerning those who set traps for you, you know who that person is? Yourself. Your flesh. We trip ourselves up so often, it's almost like we don't even think about it, do we? Yeah, we can blame the devil. Yeah, he's about. We can blame the world. But many times we are our own worst enemies. We set ourselves up. We set ourselves, we fall into a trap and then we love it. We enjoy the trap. We get something out of that trap. And so we don't want to leave it. It's too much fun. Lord, you know my path. In the way wherein I have walked, they have laid a snare secretly for me. But you know the path. You know the hidden snares. You know the traps. And so what does David say? It's a little bit different than the Hebrew is a little bit different than what you have in verse 4. It's actually an imperative. It's a command. He says, look and see. Look on the right hand and see. In other words, you are able to look and to see. You're able to see ahead in the dark what is about to I'm going to fall into, and you are able to deliver me, to cause me to avoid this snare or trap. Lord, look and see. Recognize the trap and guide me around it. The snare that so easily besets me. Give me victory over these things. You are the one who recognizes me. For refuge has failed me. No man knows me or recognizes me. Refuge has failed me. No man cares for my soul. Now, remember that David had, one of his practices was to flee to caves when he was being pursued. It was a place to hide. It was a place where Saul wouldn't find him. He would go back into the deep parts of the cave, and Saul sometimes actually entered the cave not knowing that David was there. A cave was a good thing when you're being pursued by a crazy man. But yet, even in this cave, he says later on, this cave has become my prison. The place I went for refuge has become my prison. I'm locked away. I'm locked up. And there is no one who cares for my soul. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt that? Maybe you haven't. I have. You ever felt no one really cares for my soul? Many times that's a lie, but you know, we feel that way. No one really cares for me. Here we hear David in the depths of despair. No one really knows. No one really understands. Nobody really cares. And what does he do? What is the solution to his cry there that no one cares? Verse 5. I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. What does David do? He cries in faith. He doesn't let his feelings dictate his life. Does not overwhelm him. What does he do? He cries to the one who cares for him more than he cared about himself. Do you know that Jesus cares for you more than you care for yourself? Do I have that on biblical authority? Or did I just make that up? Where in the Scriptures does it say that Jesus cares for us more than we care for ourselves? Well, I can point you to a place. A cross. Greater love is no man than this. That means greater love than the love you have for yourself. Greater love than that is the love of Jesus Christ. That He would lay down His life for His enemies, for His friends. He cares for us more than we can ever care for ourselves. David understood his refuge was in the Lord. You are my refuge. You are the place where I can run and I can feel safe. You are the only place where I can run and be truly safe. Even if my flesh fails me, I am safe in you. You are my refuge. And he says, and my portion. Now again, remember that when David ran into the cave, he had lost everything he had. His position. His wife. His possessions. His reputation. When David later on attempts to serve the Lord, there are people in Israel that mock him. Nabal is an example. When a master has a servant, it's not profitable. Should I be helping out this servant? Nabal says. David's reputation was destroyed. David's possessions were taken from him. And yet, what does he say concerning what he possessed? He says, my possession is you, Lord. You are my inheritance. You are all I really need. In you, I am content. I have all. I have what is necessary. You are my refuge, the person to whom I can run and be safe. And with you, I have everything I need. Is that your testimony? That in Christ, you have all that you need? David goes on, though, to lay before the Lord a number of petitions, a number of prayers. In verses 6 and 7, he says, Lord, this is true. Now, listen carefully to me. Literally, it says attend in the King James. Literally, listen carefully to me. That's a little bit, what would you say, a little bit bold of David to say to the Lord, God, listen carefully to me. But he knows that the Lord has already committed that type of response. And so he prays by faith. Attend, O Lord, he says. Attend unto my cry. For I am brought very low. I'm in the pit, literally. I'm in a hole in the ground. I've lost everything. Attend, listen carefully to me. Why is that important? Why is it important, first of all, for David to say, he doesn't say deliver me first, he says listen to me first. Why is that important? Because the relationship is more important than the deliverance. Your relationship with the Lord is more important than your success in life. Your victory over the difficulties of life. And so David, again, the psalm begins with crying. It continues with crying in verse 5. And here now it again says, now please hear me It's important for you to hear me. Secondly, it's important for you to do what is necessary for me, to deliver me from my pursuers, from my persecutors, those who are, and they're stronger than me. David says, I'm weak. I know it. I can't overcome my pursuers. Saul, when he pursued David, he had his army, and he had his army of thousands. They were far stronger than David. And for you and for I, the pursuers of our lives are far stronger than we have resources to overcome them. If you don't believe that, try to do it on your own. Deliver me, O Lord, from my pursuers, from persecutors, from those who desire my destruction. Cause my soul to come forth out of prison. Now, he's not in prison. What's he talking about? Well, he's in this prison state, situation. It's as if he's in prison, like Joseph in prison in Egypt. Deliver me. Bring it forth. Bring forth my soul out of prison. And then the fourth statement is probably the most amazing. The righteous shall surround me about, for you have dealt bountifully with me. Here we hear that cry, that the expectation of hope and praise. The Lord is going to deliver me, and He's going to place me where? Back among others that love God and love me. That He will surround me with those who are excited and happy for what is happening to me. Are celebrating with me. I think of the picture that comes to mind is that of a football player, right? He wins the game and everybody grabs him and puts him up on their shoulder and they're all just, yay, this guy, you know, this great hero. That's kind of what David is describing. He's surrounded by people that care for him and are excited because of who he is and what he's done. David, who's alone in a cave, looks forward to the deliverance of the Lord where he will be surrounded with love. He will not be alone again. But yet, he's not alone right now, is he? For he knows that the Lord is with him. And with the Lord, this is all that he needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He wrote. He provides for me the things that I need. And when I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I'm strong? Because I'm skillful. I can throw a sling and hit that rock and knock down the giant. That's why I'm not... I don't fear anybody because I'm the baddest person on the block. Is that what David said? I'm skillful at war. And he was. Is that what he said? I've got great cunning. No. What did he say? For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. What is your testimony? Is your comfort, your only comfort in life and in death, that I am not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ? This prayer of David is a prayer that communicates that confidence and comfort in the midst of a time of great loneliness. As I was reading the psalm, and I was reminded, actually my wife helped me out on this, there's a closing hymn, closing thought, that what David says in short form in Psalm 142, he speaks of in large notes in Psalm 27. So here are the words, the Song of David as a summary of what he said in the short form. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And he goes on to describe in many places, in many passages in this psalm concerning the Lord's grace to him. He ends with, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And David not only taught it, but lived it. That his waiting, his patience, his trust was in the Lord. And so he found deliverance. How about you? So we pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we do thank you, Lord, that there are times when you have caused us to experience loneliness. At night, on the road, in various times of our lives. Even in times when we are busy around other people, we can have that sense of being not apart, to being alone. We thank you, Lord, that you show us our need in those times for you. That you are that refuge. You are the place where we are to go to when we are alone or when we feel alone. That you have provided that fellowship. You have divided that communion through Jesus Christ, that we may never be alone. We are never alone, for you promise us that you are always with us. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would help us as we go through life and at times feel alone, as we struggle with discouragement, as we struggle with the difficulties that we face. Help us, Lord, with David, to be able to look to our Lord Jesus Christ, to find him there beside us, walking with us, carrying us along the way, holding our hand, is more aware of our needs than we are, and is able and ready to do that which is best for us and for your glory. So, Lord, we do pray that you would do that work within us, that this prayer would be a part of our life, that our testimony is when we're in the dark, when we're alone, that you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Do that work, we pray, within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.